Thank you, Racetech, racetech.com. Gold valves since 1984, making suspension better. Racetech does motors as well. They sign an NDA. They'll do all your motor work for you. If you're a shop looking to for somebody to get the shop to do, if you're a shop looking for someone to do your motor work for you, they'll do it precisely and exactly the same each and every time with the machines that they have down there. Racetech.com. Suspension parts as well. Springs, bushing, seals, all of that. Super informative website. They're looking for dealers across the country, of course, as well. Racetech service centers doing good. Racetech.com. Tell them you listen to Pulp. You'll get a deal. Racetech.com.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to the Fly Racing Racer X podcast, Loretta's wrap-up with Chris and Jason, and lots to get into when it comes to the ranch, obviously controversies as well. Some great rides, though, from some riders as well, and we made history down there at the ranch as well. Thanks to the folks at Fly Racing, code PULPMX to save with Fly Racing. From the Formula helmet to the boots to the gear, women's gear, off-road gear, all of it, code PULPMX saves you at flyracing.com. Thanks for using it. Appreciate it. And the Zone Pro goggles as well. Andrew Short running Fly Racing and winning at the ranch. So the code PULPMX to save with those guys. Thank you. Appreciate it. Flyracing.com. Thanks to the guys at RacerX, by the way. Subscribe to the magazine and read some stories that you'll never see online. Motorsport.com, Maxxis, Front Workwear, we'll tell you more about later on in the show. Renthal, 7/8 bar, twin wall bar, fat bar, all of it available at Renthal.com, Factory Honda, Kawasaki, KTM, using Renthal products. Sprockets chains, they make great chains. I'll tell you what, I put a chain on my Blue Crew a little while ago, and it's great. Sprockets chains, bars, grips, the lock-on grips doing really, really well for these guys at Renthal. Renthal.com, they got a dealer inventory. Check on their website as well. Mountain bike parts, they got them. Renthal.com. So thanks to those guys for coming on board. All right, here's Jason and Chris talking about the week that was down at the ranch. All right, everybody, let's talk some Loretta's. The week that was, with a couple of gentlemen that were at the ranch all week long. And I got to say, for myself, this was one of the times that I've watched the least amount on Racer TV in the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. So I don't know that much about Loretta's, but these guys do. First up, the man that was a call in the action a lot this week on the podium, hardest working man at the ranch, the Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Yeah, no, that's actually not true. I did way less than I normally do. We have more announcers than ever. And none other than the Cotter came up to me unsolicited at High Point and said, "Hey, man, I kind of got my own life-work balance wrong when I was younger, and I just want to help you not make the same mistakes I did. So if you don't want to go to Loretta's for the entire week, it's fine with me." And I'm like, "Wait, what?
What?
What is happening here?" He even suggested, we have so many announcers now, that he was like, "If you guys want to all do like 2 days each or 3 days each and cycle in and out and go home, that's fine." And we all decided, like, well, then you don't really know what's going on and you're clueless. So we all agreed to be there the whole time, but just each take more motos off. So I didn't call nearly as much as I did. I was pumped to get some new people, which we can talk about later, to learn how to do the podium, so I don't have to do them all anymore. So I was not the hardest working person. That's
okay.
For sure.
All right. Yeah. Also on the line, an absolute disastrous Loretta Lynn's. For RacerX correspondent, so much money wasted, so much time wasted, and just once again another Loretta's disappointment. It's the Chris Kiefer. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. How are you? Back in Georgia. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Lots to get into. We got protests. We got Horizon Award winners. We got Barry. We got Wyndham.
Kiefer not racing.
Yeah, so, all right, Chris. Obviously, you got your own janky, dumb pod, and you've talked about that, I'm sure, on there. But for our listeners, what the hell happened?
Well, it started the week before. We're planning on riding the YZ450F, but we had some electrical issues. Ended up cutting me. It cut off over a jump out here, so I had a scary one. So that freaked me out a little bit. So there's sometimes back here and back east you have some condensation that gets into things. So I tried to work through some things, but it kept happening. So we just said, okay, I don't have enough time to diagnose this problem. And Yamaha couldn't get me the parts in time, which they were willing to do, but just didn't have enough time. So yeah, Triumph. I'm a part of Triumph R&D, you know, so I'm like, let's go race the Triumph. And yeah, I had Heather and Aiden go grab me a bike the day before we left in Atlanta and really didn't get much time on it. I broke it in for 30 minutes and got to the ranch and found out that we had a clutch problem. So yeah, just didn't. It's something I don't believe in signs, but man, a lot of things happened before the ranch, and I was like, you know what? I think I'm just going to sit this one out because between the problems with the Yamaha and now the Triumph, I'm just like, look, there's just no way I can be ready in time to go race on Tuesday morning. So that's where we left it off.
Okay, so you rode practice on Monday.
Yes.
Bike worked fine or no?
No.
Okay, so then why didn't you fix it like on Monday?
The part that we needed, we didn't have. So there's basically it wasn't going to fix itself without this part. So
well, what part? What part? What are you talking about? Like, what is it?
Long story short, a lot of these bikes got. My bike wasn't part of a dealership bike. It came from back here, so I didn't have the right.
Weege,
right part.
Weege. This is he's dancing. He's bobbing. He's weaving. Weege. There's.
Phil said, every time you get on the show, it's a dumpster fire. So I'm just trying to look at. I'm being honest. Like, I didn't have the right part. And
so Triumph sells bikes without parts that you need to go riding? Or, like, what's going on? Like,
no.
I understand. Things break. Things. I get it. I just don't get this one.
Here, real simple. So when all the 450s came to the U.S.,
uh-huh.
They got this updated part. The bike that I had already has been here before the 450s got here in the dealership, so mine was different, and I didn't know that. That's why. So it was
that's a pre-production
yeah, unit.
That's a good answer.
If it wasn't for the sign, you took it as a sign. Could you, like, if you were a regular guy, where like this is your moment in life, could you have found a way, and you just were more like, I'm not feeling this vibe.
If this was a normal real world like guy and this was it, you couldn't race because the part needed to be updated.
If you don't start Moto One, that's it. But Chris, could you have ridden one lap just and then worked on fixing the bike, you know, or like, you know,
could you drive to Georgia and get the part?
Yeah, you could have did that. You could have went back to Georgia and got the part. Yes.
See, that's what I mean. If you were a guy where this was everything, you could have found a way.
Yes.
Like you could have.
Extreme measure.
Did you even make it to the gate? I don't even know this. Like, did you?
I did not make it to the gate.
Okay, so practice, the bike was screwed. No part updated. I'm not even going to go to the gate. Okay.
Once I already kind of knew what the problem was, I already kind of knew what the fix was. And
got
I knew
it.
The fix wasn't there at the ranch. So.
Okay. All right. So just all that money, like all regionals and areas and money and just, yep.
Look, that's the first thing Weege talked to me about.
It was. It was. Yeah.
That was the first thing out of his mouth. I was like, so you're telling me you came all the way out here and didn't race? And he's like, oh, my God, the money. You just blew so much money.
100%, man. And look, I realize it's only entry fee money. Aiden was racing. So all the travel money you would have spent anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, but
yes.
the regional, and the area, everything. Yeah, but
yeah, I'm still upset.
So, I tried to go for plus 50, and I didn't make it, as we all know. Obviously, Scott Lindley got in. I beat him at the regional, and he got in as an alternate. Chicken didn't show. Chicken didn't show. Like, I don't know, man.
Are you here to tell me that if you had signed up as an alternate, you would have got in because of Kiefer?
No, I'm in different class. No.
Oh, thank God.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
But
I can't
somebody
even...
got in because of Kiefer. But my class, I could have got into.
Well, we already told you this. I said most likely you'll be able to get in, but you already were like gung-ho and not going because you're like, I don't want to go in that way.
Which is true. But I was surprised that the guy behind me, Scott Lindley, got in.
But I'm not. Like, that's a very common thing. Like, usually in the age division classes, because life hits harder in the classes than the kids. So, for me, like, the 5 to 6 guys get in.
Dang.
But why didn't Chicken show up? What happened?
Dude, we could have a show just about that. Like, we could just...
Like, why does
we could sit here for an hour and just think about all these ways that Chicken did show up.
He told me he was going. I said, dude, are you really going to go? Yeah. He told me.
Let's paint this picture really quick. Like, he showed up for Moto 1 of the regional. He was on time. The next day, he was nowhere to be found. And his guys that were there for him didn't even know if he was going to show up. So that explains a lot.
I guess he barely showed up for the second moto at Paula. What makes you think he's going to go to show up in Tennessee?
That literally should be the name of a podcast. Why didn't Chicken show up? It could be weekly.
Yeah.
There'd be so much material.
Yeah. So, all right. And Aiden, Chris, had some moments good and some moments bad overall for his week. He rode 450s, B or whatever, and then some 250 class.
Yeah, he rode 450B and 250B. He podiumed the first day on second, and he rode really good. But as Weej knows, it was pretty damn hot. I would say as hot, if not hotter, than last year. And as the week went on, it just kind of got worse because, honestly, he hasn't raced that much. He wasn't in shape, and we already kind of knew that, but he needs to go race. And he cooked himself pretty hard and had a couple bad motos, but... Yeah, we were debating on wrapping it up on Friday just because I didn't want him to cook himself too much for the combine this weekend, but we decided to stick in it, and he rode good. The last 250B moto, he hung in with Deacon Dano for a little bit and then was third for over, I don't know, 8 laps or so, and then pulled the anchor out, and got 7. So there's something there. We just got to work on the fitness part.
I find it funny, though, that I was there last year, and honestly, it was so hot the day I was there, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then this year it's like, no, dude, this is the hottest year ever. But like literally last year, everyone's like, this is the hottest year in years. So is it just every single year? It's the hottest year in years? Hottest year? I don't know.
I don't know. To me, like, they're both hot. But this year I felt like was a little bit heavier as in the humidity.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the high 90s and the humidity was almost 70%. So for me, That's a big ask to, you know, to have these kids race these long motos and even the older guys. So they cut the laps by one, but I don't know what one lap's going to do, honestly.
Yeah, because we saw Liam Olof, right? Heat stroke himself out in the first moto of the week. Yeah.
Yeah. And that says something too, because I talked to Joe about that and I go, you guys have been living back in Florida for over a year. And he's like, man, we live in the heat. We train in the heat. We recover. And he's like, this was out of the blue that happened. So, I mean, it could happen to anybody.
I do wonder, like, someone should go back and see, like, there is global warming, right? The temperature has risen over the years. Someone should go back and, like, look at the 90s temperatures at Hurricane Mills or what. I don't know. Maybe it's literally gotten hotter, the event. I don't know. Because why do we see this heat affecting guys when I don't remember the heat affecting guys ever before, but maybe we didn't have the coverage we had now? I don't know, but
I just think it's just we don't have the coverage and all the social media and the shit that we have now. You know, there's so much, everything's so much, you know, it's out there. You know, we know things that we shouldn't know, honestly.
Yeah, I guess.
You guys are kidding yourselves. If society's soft, Bob Stinkin' Hanna, 2 45-minute motos wide open, 7 inches to travel in Texas.
You're right.
Don't tell Jeff Ward we're cutting motos. He'll be
exactly. Wardy would have been riding with the sweatshirt on.
In Wardy's case, though, I almost give him a break. I think he might have been. I don't know.
Actually, that would be true. Yes, Wardy would. I don't understand the volume those guys did back then.
Weej, I kind of didn't realize this till I started doing the area or more the regional. Like, what? We got to change. The poker chips is dumb. Davey and I are never going to agree. He actually took it out of Racerhead when I had a rant about poker chips. He took it out. He doesn't want to hear it. He's sick of it. Which I don't, you know, we'll always disagree on this.
Poker chips.
But my new thing, I think my new thing is, why are 250 kids racing 450 class? Why even have a 450 class? They're all on 250s. There are kids that excel on 450s, I'm sure, or there's families that can't drop 10 grand into a 250 motor, let's say. Make 450s a 450 class. And it's a stronger kid, maybe, a different type of bike, a different type of fitness is required, all of that stuff, never mind that you don't need to mod it as much. Like, what are we doing? Do you agree?
I feel like you're literally answering your own question. They're basically saying, if you think you're better off on a 450, here's a class where you can race a 450.
But you have all the kids on modded 250s racing.
So the theory is, this is not fair. I'm on a 450, but I got to race others who are on a 250. This is not fair.
No, I'm saying, like, there's plenty of 250 classes for these kids to go into.
That's not true.
There's not?
There's two pro sport classes. There's two.
Yeah, right.
There's only two.
So that's, isn't that enough?
No, so, if you're, what we just saying is, if you're on a 250, you only have one class you can race. If you go to the rule that you're saying, if I have a 250 and you have to ride open pro sport on a 450 and you only have a 250, you only can ride one class.
Okay, but could you not make a case that the 250s are probably quicker around Loretta's than a 450?
Well, then race one. I don't know.
Yeah, but but then that goes to the family that doesn't have 10K to drop with Twisted on a 250.
Well, here's what you're also doing when you do that. Everybody has suggestions, but they all create side effects. For years, everybody said there's too many classes. Everyone's trophy hunting. The good guys don't race each other. So they said, you know what? There used to be four A classes. We're going to do two. No running and hiding. The best rider wins. You all got to race each other. To be fair, we'll make one that's for 250s only, and we'll make another class that's for whatever you want. You want to race a 450 or 250, you're fine. Kiefer, I don't want to say this is like what you guys are doing, but everyone knows in the B class, where there's a limited and a mod 250 class and schoolboy, which is for mod, and a 450 B class, riders do pick classes to avoid each other. So they tried to get rid of that in the A class and be like, you're all racing each other. If you want to race two classes, you have to race in these. If you start splitting it off, you're right back where you started.
Yeah, and I think it's better this way, Steve, just because it's up to us, the parents, the riders, to say what you're better on, right? So, like, just for example, Aiden rode 450B, right, on a 250. We knew that he was going to get a bad start, most likely, because there are some kids that are decent on 450s. So he was going to have to kind of settle in and work his way around that guy. And the 450 is a heavy bike to push around Loretta's, unless you're Enzo Timmerman. Like, everyone else, I think, would be faster on a 250. And deep into a moto. So I feel like the open rule is an okay rule. I think there's a lot of other things that we can work on besides this.
Okay. All right.
If you make two 250 classes to make sure that the kids that are on the mod 250s have two classes to race, then you're going to have this other 450 class. Mm-hmm. And then whoever wins that, they're going to be like, but is he really good? Did it prove anything?
Why even have the limited classes? Why even the stock used to be stock classes, but why even have that?
Here's the problem, Steve. We're talking pro sport, which doesn't have limited.
Okay. All right.
But to go off of what you're saying, Steve, the limited classes, like, you look at a guy like Max Shane, 250B limited, 450B limited. That's what he rode. In his case, he's looking for help, right? So, hey, I'm going to try to ride a limited class first, or you get guys coming out of a schoolboy one class going to a 250. So let's put them in limited first, mm-hmm. get their feet wet. And then maybe go up to a schoolboy 2 and a 250B the next year. So it's most of like, hey, I'm trying to win a championship in this B class, but if I'm moving my way up, the limited class is usually the way you should go.
So if you're Darian Sinai or Ryan Holiday, you may be looking at these limited for rides?
Honestly, and this is my opinion, and we each can butt in, I don't think limited means much to these guys.
Oh, okay. All right.
Unless you already kind of have help. But if you're just coming in and you win the 450B limited class, I don't think someone's like, oh, man, this is the next big thing. I think you got to win the premier 250B or schoolboy 2 class.
Because I would think just from the outside, I'd be like, well, maybe this family doesn't have a lot of money to buy a Twisted full motor, and this is how they're going to showcase their skills, and what if we got this guy some help that way, I guess. I don't know.
They look at that. This is what Kitchen did. Kitchen really cleaned up in B, but he wasn't doing it in those, I guess what you consider main classes, mm-hmm. which is the modified 250, which is 250B and schoolboy. And he got a look, and he eventually got a star ride. But it was more like a, maybe this is something. We're not going to ignore it, but we're not 100% sure. So it kind of gets you on the map.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have the money for the best bike, or you're not on a quote-unquote factory team, it at least gives you a chance to put yourself on the radar. But for sure, modified 250 B-Class is kind of the heart of it.
Right. Okay, well, then I'll just switch back to the poker chips thing then, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you actually brought this stuff up, because I do feel like I hear these, like, armchair, this is dumb, why do they do this? And then I feel like when we talk it out, you're like, well, here's why. They know that there's some B-Riders that aren't on a quote-unquote factory team or whatever the money, so they give them an avenue. Is it the premier class? No. But if you win that title, you will get people looking. Guaranteed factory ride? No, but they'll look.
Yeah, okay.
And the pro sport, we don't want to have four pro sport classes because we don't want the riders to duck from each other. So that's why these things are the way they are.
All right, yeah. Sounds good.
And just FYI, limited classes aren't always limited. Just there's fake limited too. So.
Okay.
Oh, well, I'm glad you brought that up, because when I first started working there, it was stock, and they made me answer all the emails, and like people were flipping out. They're like, stock means stock.
Right.
But it was like you can change bars, grips, like – this is when bikes came with steel bars. Like,
right.
You really want it to be a stock class? So instead of the constant argument over why isn't stock stock, they're like, all right, we'll call it limited. Which is what, Kiefer? You can do suspension revalve and...
You can actually put a top clamp on, a suspension revalve. There's certain things you can do. So it's not completely stock.
And that's, but then you can't
modify the motor. Really.
But the manufacturers are selling these works editions with exhausts, and that's the bike to have now, right?
So that's the thing, right? Yeah. You can go race an SR. If you're in 450B Limited, you can go get an SR, and then you have a bike that's powerful, right?
Right, so, right. Yeah. Yep. It's got motor head mods to it and an exhaust, and you're like, wait, they sell it. So back in the day, I think it was steel bars and stock grips and everything back in the day. Like,
when I started, it was you could change bars and grips and graphics, and then all that did was get people mad and say, why isn't the stock class stock? And it's like, because no one wants to race with steel bars. But again, if you talk about these things for 5 minutes, you can understand the sense of it, but people just saw that word stock and just freaked out.
Could you imagine having the Kawasaki Race of Champions nowadays? Like, you'd have to go race the Kawasaki. I mean, that would be unbelievable.
I mean, honestly, we'll get to the PW class, but maybe that's where we need to go with that thing. Yamaha, just show up and roll out P-dubs for everybody.
Yep.
You know? I mean, Yamaha would do it, probably. All right, let's get into this thing. So Deacon Denno was somebody that our guy Daniel Blair, actually on the Blair Mathis show, said keep an eye open for Deacon Denno at the ranch. And I'm just like, I don't even know who that is, but he said that. And then Enzo Timmerman, obviously we've seen him jump into some nationals. He won the Horizon Award winner. And we each, from the sounds of it, like from me following it, he was untouched. He was the man, Enzo.
Yeah, Timmerman in the pro sport definitely was the man. He won 5 of 6, and the only moto he didn't win. I don't know if he was going to catch Landon Gordon because he wasn't catching him, but they did call it early. I think there were 8.5 minutes to go with Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure in his mind he's like, "Oh yeah, I would have caught him. I would have won it." But the previous laps, the gap was kind of staying the same. But I don't know. Last 8 minutes in an amateur race might be everything. Point is, he's the best guy, but even that one, he rode awesome and he rode great. He rode better than he ever has before. He's definitely made a step up. But it's so hard to say, because I always say this about the Horizon Award. The A class is all over the map of who races it, who turns pro early. You know, like Caden Minear could have been in there, and Caden Dudney, who was the best B rider last year, should have been there, but he got hurt at Daytona. These are two star riders.
Mm-hmm.
They might be sitting there watching, being like, Enzo Timmerman, we would have handled that guy no problem. And maybe they wouldn't have. But it just shows how tough it is, the Horizon Award. I think people like to look at it and say, like, why did they give it to this guy? It's like, well, you're going to give it to the guy who's there. You can't give it to a guy who was hurt or decided to turn pro at Paula or Hangtown or Glen Helen, whatever it is that year. Timmerman was definitely the best guy of this group. And maybe he's the best guy of all. I don't know. Maybe. He rode awesome.
Chris?
Yeah, for me, like, I've watched Timmerman. I mean, we ride with him a little bit and just watched him over the years. He's had a lot of injuries, Steve. Like, he's come from broken femurs. He's got, you know, shoulder problems. So he had some injuries coming in, and I knew he'd be good on the open pro sport because he rides a 450 better than he does a 250. He's a bigger kid. But honestly, man, I haven't seen him look this good in a very long time, and he uses his legs a lot. I mean, he looks like a Jason Anderson when he rides. And I honestly think even if those other kids show up, no one beats him this week just because of how well he rode the track. What's crazy to me, and I think, and maybe you guys know this because I don't, is the state of our amateur racing, right? You have this kid, Enzo Timmerman. He gets the Horizon Award. We don't even know where he's going to go or if he's going to have a pro deal or what's going on. We don't know if he's even going to be on a team. What does that say for our amateur racing and these people that are trying to go get rides and these kids and these parents are dumping in money? And then you have a Horizon Award winner. The kid races and wins both premier pro class, but there's no deal lined up for him. That's just crazy to me.
I think it shows the teams are trying to get smarter about it. So if you're Star, for some reason, I think Star is even going to sign Landon Gordon.
Yeah.
So they're really doing scouting these days. So for some reason, these teams have been like, you know, Cole Davies, got to have him. Cade Minear, got to have him. Caden Dudney, got to have him. Landon Gordon, got to have him. Timmerman, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. They must think they see something in others that they don't see in him, and maybe they'll be proven wrong.
But Team Green, he doesn't have a path on Team Green to Pro Circuit? Like nothing like that?
If you ask the Team Green guys, he's really not even on the elite team. The elite team riders were Aiden Zing and Gordon. Those are the two guys that were on the team. And then Timmerman was working off of an old contract because Holiday and Team Green honored his stuff because he was hurt a couple of years. So they were just honoring his old contract and just helping him out. So in reality, he's not even on the actual elite side of things. So as far as I know, I mean, there's no path for him next year for the pro class.
Are we reaching a point with the combines and the SMX Next races and all of that? Are we reaching a point where Loretta's is not the end all and be all to a guy's season?
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah,
at least on my side is what I'm seeing. I mean, I'm putting a lot of effort and money into Aiden, and just from what I've been talking, who the guys I've been talking to and things that I've been figuring out along the way, like Loretta's is great and you can show up and do good and let's say, you know, you win, but that doesn't guarantee you anything. And I think 5 to 8 years ago, it kind of would have.
For sure.
I feel like you would have Loretta's and you won and you would have got a deal ASAP. I mean, a contract before you leave the ranch. And now if you do that and you're not riding Supercross and you're not in the SMX, you know, Next Supercross program, they're not really, just like Weech said, they think that Supercross is first and everything else is kind of second.
Should be interesting, Weech.
Well, I don't even know what's that. I just think they're looking at more races because I have heard that Dudney crushed Loretta's in B last year, but I did hear people saying, Supercross, that might be tougher for him. I heard people saying that maybe Supercross is going to be tough. So he didn't get signed for Supercross. They just saw something in general. I think what we're seeing is, to make it even more basic, now they're looking at 8 races, 12 races, a variety of races, where before I think they tried to cheat the system and be like, this is easy. All we got to do is go to this one race 1 week a year, and we'll learn everything we need to know and just sign whoever wins. And after how many times did that not work? I think they realized, you know what, we have to start paying attention to more. And if you could give us a couple races that are at the races we're already attending, that would be even better. So to prevent the washouts, I feel like they're taking less risk.
Yeah, like the Dudneys and Minear missing Loretta's isn't going to hurt them at all. You know, they're hurt. It happened. And, like, you know, whatever. No. So
they already showed whatever Star is looking to see. They've already shown that.
And also, too, not just to wrap this portion up, is budgets are getting cut. So I know a lot of manufacturer budgets for 2026 are not as large as the prior 2 years. So, and that trickles down to the amateur side as well. So just simple fact, like, hey, we have to be more picky on who we choose because we don't simply have the money to help more than X amount of people, you know? So.
Holiday even told me that, you know, they're spending a lot more. No one would even think about this. They're putting a lot more effort into GNCC because they think that's growth. But I think that affects the budget in other areas. And
correct.
Dude, yeah, bottom line is this.
It's all Team Green, right? Yeah, it's all Team Green.
Yeah, that's all Team Green money. The Jet Reynolds 5-year deal off an 85, I don't know if that'll ever happen again. It was a race to the top, and now that's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting times in amateur racing. All right, Deacon Denno, the surprise maybe? Or no, am I just out of the loop?
I thought he was one of the top guys. I thought he could do that.
All right, okay.
What do you think, Kiefer?
I've watched him. He trains at the Triumph facility, so we ride there a lot, and I've been watching him ride. I knew he was good. He's had some injuries coming in, too, so just from what I've seen riding with the Triumph guys here and with Aiden, I knew he'd be the top B kid. And so I'm not really surprised. I am surprised on how strong he was towards the end of the motos. Like he in the heat, he kept his lap times low and throughout the whole week. And I think a lot of that gets lost in translation is like, this is a long week of riding and every kid that's on the line, they think, hey, this is the end all be all race, but he managed his week really well. And that's what I was more surprised with, is just what, how strong he was.
I saw an interview with him on social, and obviously I don't know the kid or anything, but he was saying like, yeah, I'm as fast as Jordan Smith and these guys at the farm. I go that same speed, so why can't I just bring it here? And I'm like, okay, goddamn. You know? Like, whatever. Like,
he was flexing some confidence.
Yeah, he was basically just saying, like, I'm as good as all the pros at Triumph, or, you know, as good, not better or nothing. But and I'm like, okay, cool, man.
But what I also enjoyed was, so he was the best B guy, and he wins the what they call the Amateur Rider of the Year award, which they had to start because, again, like I said, the it's getting too unpredictable of who's even going to show up and race pro.
Yep.
You know, the Barsha and Tomac, like, I'm just going to race round one of Promoto. I'm not even coming back. Because of that, they've invented this other award about 10 years ago to be like, give it to the best B rider, because if he's really good, this might be his last time ever racing as an amateur.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, Denno was good, but then, again, Star, they have Wood, who crashed all over the place all week. But whenever he did get on the podium and he won the last moto, he's like, yeah, this should have been mine. I was the best guy. Should have been mine. I'm like, oh, so we got two guys. We got Carson Wood and Denno saying, yeah, I'm the guy.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Well, Carson Wood didn't have a good week at all, right? Like, except for that last moto?
Finally won the last. Yeah, dude, he crashed a ton. But he did win the last moto, for what it's worth.
Yeah, I would have thought he would have been better just because, you know, they had half the team out there for the kid. And I think that some of that has something to do with pressure. And I think he's pretty small. He's a young kid. He has the speed. I just think experience on that bike. And also, he was slated to ride the limited classes early in the year, Steve. And then he started riding the mod bike, and they said he was good enough on that. So they put him on that. But honestly, as good as that bike was, his starts weren't great all week. So I think that bike maybe was a little bit too much for him off the starts, and that those starts kind of hurt him and, you know, forced him into some crashes. That first crash where he hit the monster can or whatever, he was already leading, but the other ones, he was kind of buried back a little bit.
So Denno is going to be a Triumph amateur rider, Chris, if the rumors are to be believed?
I mean, that's as far as I don't really even know. I haven't even asked the guys yet, but I mean, I've heard the same thing.
Right. Cause they want to do they want to start an amateur program there of some sort.
But also from what the interviews he said with Weege, it sounds like, he might not even do amateur. He might just be jumping in to see how he rides Supercross. And if that's the case, he rides good. Maybe he'll just go right to the pro.
Damn.
Yeah. It was weird how he kept saying this could be my last time here.
Okay. Fly Racing, by the way, use the code PULPMX, 2026 Fly Racing out. Looking really good. Obviously, Jance Hymus and RJ Hampshire and the Cooper Webb guy, Justin Brayton, running Fly Racing. Code PULPMX to save at flyracing.com. Also, thank you to the folks at motorsport.com. And great team over there. Great prices on anything for UTVs, dirt bikes, e-bikes, whatever. OEM and aftermarket parts, motorsport.com. Driven to Ride sweepstakes going on as well. The best place to order parts in the industry. Chris should have used Motorsport to get that special part for this Triumph, and he would have been racing. Motorsport.com. Go through the banner to help us out on that. Appreciate the Motorsport guys, and of course, Maxxis and Renthal and Brunt Workwear, which we'll tell you more about later on. Who was – oh, by the way, the only thing I don't like about this Enzo kid, and I said this on the Blair pod.
Oh, boy.
I don't know the kid. Is he a nice kid? Are the parents nice?
Very nice. You know me, dude. I'm all about humans.
I know.
Good people.
I've seen this kid at Glen Helm over the years. I've seen him at the local tracks. I don't like how he just has Enzo on the back of his jerseys. I don't like that. Like, if you're Prince or Madonna, you've made it. You can be one word. You can just be, you know, your first name. I don't like the hubris of putting Enzo only on the back of your jersey. That's all.
I think he had Temmerman on the back this week.
Okay. Well, so maybe he's
that's probably the rules, though, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah. How can we get the bibs away? How do we get rid of that, Weege?
Oh, ask Steve about the poker chips.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, these bibs, man, they're driving me insane.
Bibs, dude. Last year when I found out you got to buy the bibs or something, or you, I don't know. I just was like, oh boy.
No, well, we splurged for Aiden's name on his bib, and Heather's like, "Do you want your name on your bib?" I'm like, "No, I don't."
No. Oh, so you pay extra to get your name on the bib?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Hey, so who? We covered the B class. We covered the A class a little bit. I want to talk about some other things on the ranch. Obviously, vet classes and announcing and all that. But Chris, I'll start with you. Who was a surprise for you at the ranch? Like any class, any rider? Who really caught your eye and you're like, okay, goddamn.
Two people, honestly. The first one was Jacob Bomber. I've watched Jacob ride. He's right. He won the junior 25 class. The dude was gone every moto. Like, he was shredding.
He's ridden pro, right? He used to race pro.
Yeah, he did Supercross mates. Remember he had the Crosley bike, the all-black bike with the Crosley logos?
Yeah.
Dude, the guy rode the tracks. I mean, every year I see him, he rides Loretta's really good. He's from Texas, but I thought at one time he was more of like a southern rider. I don't know where he's from, but he lives in Texas now. But
Kentucky.
He was on a KTM for a bit, and then he switched to Yamaha. And, dude, I'm telling you, I mean, watching him ride this track, he was very fluid. He was smooth. Wasn't even look like he was going fast. And he said he had the fastest time of the week at one point from a junior rider. I don't think we've seen that since Cole Martinez, maybe. So, like, for me, he was a shock. I knew he would be good, but he handled Heath Harrison. Even though Heath didn't get great starts, I thought Heath Harrison or the guy who hit the tree.
Canning.
Oh, Canning.
Canning.
I thought it was going to be Canning or Harrison, but Bomber, man, I think no matter what, that guy would have won, and his times were good, and he was, by the third lap, he was checked out by 15, 20 seconds. And I just thought that was very impressive to see. And he rode the Open Pro Sport, and he was good in a couple of those motos. So he was a big shock to me. And then, of course, the girl racing Kyler. Didn't know much about her.
What class did she win? Sorry, what class did she win? I was confused.
65, 10 to 11 limited.
Okay, all right. So first time a girl has ever won, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
In a non, you know, girls or women's class.
Yeah, of course, right.
Yep, exactly.
Well, good.
So
yeah, that was
cool. Watch her ride a little bit, and she was just consistent. She never won a moto, but went 4-2-2, and she won. And there's a lot of kids behind her that are probably, their parents aren't probably stoked, man. I mean, let's face it. I see a lot of these parents, and the last thing that they want to see is their son get beat by a girl, and she just handled them, dude. It was an impressive week for her.
All right, Weege, a couple that stood out for you?
Yeah, a little deeper into the mini ranks. One rider to mention is Super Mini, Darren Pine, and winning both Super Minis. And that's not really a surprise because he probably was considered the guy, but I think he broke his femur at Loretta's last year. He had a big crash, I know that. And I think there was some like, is he going to be right back to where he was winning like he was before that? He pretty much was. He only won the second title because that other guy, Colt Martin, crashed on literally the last lap of the last moto of the week and handed the title over. But I think Pine showed he's the guy. So I'm going to go a little further down. Let me find Super Mini. So this kid, Chase Morgan, I don't know if he was the fastest, but he was like Cooper Webbing it all week. Guys would put pressure on him. He'd fight him off. They'd have to try again. They'd get frustrated. They'd fall, or they'd pass him, and he'd pass him right back, which would frustrate him. So he ended up winning two titles, Mini Senior 1 and 2. I was just impressed with the grit and the – kind of like Kiefer was saying, all week, man. He never wavered. He never got weak. So that was a surprise one for me. That was awesome. And then this whole girls thing. So, yeah, Racing Kyler wins the title. But also there were two others out of nowhere. You've got three girls battling for podiums all week, which no girl had ever come close ever. And then all of a sudden, one year, I don't know what has changed. I don't understand it. So in the younger 65 class, Yamina Burning got like three podiums. She got second and third in her two classes, the 7 to 9 65, like one group younger than Racing Kyler. And then in the 85, this girl, Hannah Jameson, I think she's 13. And she was mixing it up. Same thing, top fives right around the podium. So I don't know what's going on, but now there's three girls that were battling the boys all week.
Wow. Okay. Sounds cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yumena Burning, she actually got a podium before Kyler did. She got second in her first moto. So she was actually the first ever podium. And then like later in the week, you get your first ever champ, and it's in two different classes. So wild, man. And heck, Lala Turner, dude, right. She was running seventh at one point. Wasn't she in like a straight up 250B class?
250B limited. She went. She got a ninth in the third moto.
Dude, yeah, she was ripping.
Yep.
So it was like a team woman, team girl at the ranch this year, like a breakout.
Yeah, that was obviously a big deal. She got on SportsCenter. I'm sure you saw that.
Yep. I love the people freaking out about being on SportsCenter. Like, I mean, it's cool. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, man, we've been on SportsCenter a lot. Like, not a lot, but when you think about X Games, you think about crashes, you know, different crazy crashes. Like, we've made SportsCenter. It's not.
Okay. So it might be X Games once and Chatterpult once, and now this.
No.
Dude, we're never on SportsCenter, Steve.
Yeah, never, never. Speaking of Ballmart and plus 25, did anybody connect with a Jake Weimer and get his feelings on being back at the ranch?
I didn't talk to Jake before, and he was like, "Man, it's hotter than I remember." Welcome back.
I did talk to him. I think after his first moto, so uh-huh. I don't know how they. I'm sure he wasn't stoked on the results overall for the week because he wasn't even really podiuming.
I think
much.
He got third overall, but maybe
he did get third overall. Okay,
between like, but he went like 3, 5, 4. Like, yeah, it wasn't. You know, yeah.
Yeah, I did talk to him a lot at the beginning of the week. So the reason he came was because he's coaching this kid Sawyer Geek, who actually did win like the Mini Cycle Rider of the Year award because he won both titles in the 10-12, 85, and that's kind of the I always say that's the class where like you can't really hide. Like if you're short or tall for your age, you can move up to different classes. But that 10-12 range, pretty mm-hmm. much everyone races an 85. So if you can win that one, you're a bad dude. And Sawyer Geek won all six of his motos.
Oh, okay.
But then Weimer told me, Sawyer's like, "Hey, why don't you race this year?"
Yeah.
And then Weimer's like, "All right, well, yeah, let's try it." So there we go.
Yeah, yeah, it was good to see him back. I told him he's 7MX's top rider right now, so he's got that going for him.
No, you got Hattie.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Kulas is 7.
Yeah.
I know this, man. I work with Stu. Stu's a Kulas guy.
Right, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, yeah. By the way, thanks to the folks at Maxxis Tires, Maxxis.com. Jeremy McGrath developed some Maxxis tires. Mountain bike tires are fantastic as well. PRMX, the International Supercross Race Team, using Maxxis tires, MXSTs. They got a scoop as well going on. So thanks to the folks at Maxxis for all that they do. Here on the Fly Racing Racer X podcast, Loretta's review. A few other things before we go here to wrap up. I was waiting for my friend Chris's first plus 40 moto. And he didn't show, but I did watch it. And our guy, Andrew Short, he was about 10th off the start and within 5 corners was in the lead-ish.
Yeah.
And then never lost another moto all week. Andrew Short missing Mike Brown, obviously. But, yeah, Shorty was in another time zone, got a title again. And then his kid, Hudson, won a moto, which is cool because like he's got an eye problem. He can't see out of one eye or he got limited vision out of one eye. Really cool story for Hudson to in the 125 C class to do that well.
So. Yeah, Hudson went 1-3-4 for third in 125 C, so that was mm-hmm. he was in the championship hump to go into the last moto. So considering that he's never been, and I thought that was a really good showing by Hudson, you know.
And Shorty was untouched, gone.
Yeah, Shorty had I think Brad Smith was the next guy that was decent for mm-hmm. him, and he even told me that. Earlier he was like we talked after the race, he's like, "I don't know if I'm going to do it next year unless, you know, someone comes and races, because it's not, you know, it's boring for him to ride, you know, there ain't mm-hmm. no one touching him, so maybe if Chad comes or something he'll come back." But as of right now, he's like, "Honestly, I really missed having Brownie there because it really helped inspire, you know, to go." So.
Well, at one point Chad was racing, Brownie was racing, right, Shorty was racing, right. It was gonna be great. So Chris Kiefer was racing.
Yeah, Shorty said, "Chad has kicked my ass my entire life, so I was hoping I could get one on him." But here we go. Oh, I probably said "but," let's be honest.
Scary guy got a title.
Yes, scary guy got a title. That's Kelleher, Kiefer's buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Just look, man, there's Deegan who, you know, says that he uses everyone else's words as fuel, and maybe he does. But scary guy, it is for real. Like, he stands next to the podium, listening intently to hear what everyone's saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he does. It was wild. Like, poor Ben Graves from Club. I'm really worried. Graves, there might be a grave for Graves. Because he got third in the first moto, and Ben's like, I'm looking forward to watching these guys race 40 plus and watching them struggle. And then I look, and there's Scary. Here's it. Check. Mark for death.
Yeah.
So Scary did win a title over Paymar. You don't want to. Scary is a New England guy. Do not mess with him.
Right.
On or off the track. Correct, Kiefer?
He's so correct. Like, I think I said something about his style one day, and he just, you know, he was like bummed out on that. And I'm like, oh, he's going to kill me, you know, because I think I was on my deathbed riding, and then I have this guy just, you know, I think at the time I said a plumber, and he wasn't a plumber. And I'm like, he just goes around me, and he doesn't look great on the bike. I'm like, oh, I feel like an idiot because this guy just worked me, you know. And then he remembers that kind of shit. And just like to Weege's credit, he won the moto, rolled his bike up, put it up on the stand. And usually what the usual routine is, you know, you win and you go back down to the impound area and sit on a chair, and then Weege calls you up. This dude, he just stays up on the podium, dude, stands up and waits for the announcer to get up there. He ain't moving, dude. Like, he's ready to rock. He just does things differently, and he's just – yeah, man, he's a shit brick house, dude. You don't want to screw with this dude.
Weege, Barry has been back at the ranch a lot and has never won a title. This was the closest he had. Paymart had him covered, but Barry went 2-2-2.
Yeah, so as Paymart, or Frenchy as they call him, says, he said, we have a phrase in France, when the cat's away, the mice will play, which was Brownie not being there in 50-plus. So they all knew this was our year. Brownie's not here, and Paymart wins the first moto. He got beat by Scary Guy in 45, but in 50, Scary Guy's not 50 yet.
Yep.
So it's going to be down to Paymart and Barry. Let me tell you, those first couple laps of Moto 2, Barry knew he had to get the second Moto win.
Yep.
And he threw it all out there. I mean, when you think of the all-out speed guys, I'm like, is this Hampshire at Salt Lake City? Or is it Barry?
Is this Barry? Yeah.
Threw it all out there. But Paymar got the better of him. So, yeah, Barry ended up second.
Is Scary Guy 50 next year? Do we know?
No.
Okay. All right.
You know he's not, or you don't?
I'm 50. I'm coming for Barry and Paymart, dude.
You're going to be 50 next year, bro?
Yeah.
Dang.
Right?
Good for you,
well,
though.
Yeah,
I would not have thought you were even close.
We'll see you on the line.
Okay, I like this. Yeah, hell yeah.
Hey, so yeah, that's the vet classes. We kind of covered that a little bit. Canning and this tree. This tree has been at Loretta's for 40 years. No one has ever hit
sure
it.
It's been there longer.
Yeah.
It's been part of the track for 44, but yeah.
Okay,
get some annual rings?
What was he doing? He was trying to pre-jump it or something? Like, okay, do we side with the tree or do we side with Canning? Or like, what are we? Who do we side with on this?
Let me quarterback this a little bit.
Okay, please do.
So there's the tree. Like you said, been there 40 years. I know it's there. Every time I jump the triple and I try to go inside, I think of the tree. I know the tree's there. Okay? So I'm like, okay, I better not get loose right here because I could just exit stage right and hit the tree. That thought runs into my head. So there is a taller roller on the inside of that hook.
Uh-huh.
And then on the outside, it's a less of a roller. So you have an option. Well, as the track forms, sometimes you can kind of go jump the triple into Storyland, then go wide and cut across and jump off of that steeper right side, which the tree is right there. I don't think it's how much height you get, because the tree is not overhanging across the track where if you go high, you're going to clip your neck. That's not the case. The case is if you get too far to the right, because the tree does bend a little bit on the track. But what happened was Canning was using that line outside to inside, and I think, and I could be wrong, I think this is the first time he's ever been at the ranch. And correct me, I don't know if that's true, but I think that's the case. And maybe he doesn't know exactly how the track flows or how it forms. And when you have those ruts coming up the inside of that right side of that roller, sometimes it can hook and bank you back to the right. Well, that's exactly what happened. He was going to accelerate off that thing and jump out, and then it kind of hooked back. And then he kind of tried to duck, but he clipped that tree, and then boom, here comes the shitstorm.
Dude, the video is gnarly.
he was, I mean, from what he did, I've never seen someone try to jump off of that roller as far as he was going to jump. He was going to send it out there. No one has ever really done that, ever.
We've had 40 years and 8 million laps around the tree, and no one has hit it. So like
when you go over that roller on the inside, there's ruts leading up it. You just kind of like, and then kind of maybe catch a little bear and then get back on the ground and drive to the next corner. No one's launching off that sucker. So my thing is, and we talked about this, is like, sure, should the tree be taken out at some point? I could, if they did, I'd be like, cool, man, that's better. But also, as a rider, you have to kind of fucking know what is a dangerous part of the track, okay? So, like, I teach my kid this, man. Look at the edges of the track. Know where you can maybe get loose and where you can't.
Well,
that one section, you can't do it.
But from what I've read, Canning takes responsibility. He's not saying screw the tree.
Yeah, no.
He
never blamed anybody. I'm just saying these other people that take it and run with it, they don't, they're not, you're not a racer. Like, relax.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. It was something else, man. Jeez, Canning, calm down. Calm down, man.
Calm down with the attempting to jump that. No, yeah. He didn't complain.
No. Calm down on attempting to jump it. Like, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen anyone attempt. I've never seen anyone even try anything.
Right.
I don't even know what to say. Like, remotely like that. It
yeah.
was like a completely different. Now, some people say if you look, it was actually more like he was just swapping and losing control. I don't know.
And that could be too, because when you jump that triple in the Storyland, there's bricky bumps right when you land. So maybe you got a little bit of whiskey. I don't know.
The only thing that got me mad about it, obviously the mob about the tree, and you know, they actually, this is the first time anyone's ever really hit it at all. Certainly first time anyone's hit it that hard. So they actually did, what was it, Kiefer? Did they like subtly just move the inside of the track slightly further left? They said they changed it to make it, they didn't reroute it, but they made it harder to get to the tree. Did you notice?
Yeah, I think they just kind of pushed that edge out, or that roller out a yep. little bit more. So if you did jump off of it, it was less yep. of a lip to hook you yep. back. So
I was at this AMA awards dinner thing that I always go to on Tuesday, and I only go for the free dinner. This is where they, all the tracks that host areas and regionals get like an AMA number one plate, but they serve dinner. So I just show up. So they were talking about this at that, and they're like, no one's ever hit the tree before. So now that we know you could, we didn't know anyone could get there. We're going to move the track out a little bit. And they'll probably significantly change it next year. So that's the truth. And the only part of this whole online lynch mob that gets me mad, if your opinion disagrees, that's fine. But I literally saw comments of like one Instagram account literally said 10 to 15 people get hurt on that tree every year. That's just straight up not true.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the first time for 43 years, no one hit it.
10 to 15 people, they just cart them out there every year.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But that's MX Sports. They don't care. They're like, ha, 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 ha.
It's dude, we are in a misinformation age, and
we are. And
it's brutal.
Like, if I go in there and say 10 to 15, where does your data come from? They're just going to say, Davey put a gun to my head, hostage talk, and said, you know, come out these dudes. Like, no one's ever done that before. Maybe someone's brushed their shoulder on it, but no one's ever clipped it in midair like that. Ever.
It's crazy to me. I see all these things too, and my kid's on social media a little bit more than me. So he shows me these things. I'm just like, look. Weege works for Davey. I work for RacerX. I don't get a break. I pay full price. I bitch about it, right? But I'm not saying MX Sports is trying to fuck me or fuck everyone. It's like, it's crazy what you hear. Like, it's simply just not true, a lot of these things. I'm just like, it's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Well, even further, didn't you post how the prices of Loretta's?
Yes. I mean, I'm honest with it. Like, I just say, hey, that's a lot of money. Here's what it costs me.
Yep.
But I'm the idiot that shows up every year. I spend the money. So, like, I'm not blaming anybody. It's just everything's going up, and I paid it, right? So I'm venting and I bitch, but no one's giving me any breaks. Everyone's like, "Oh, you're trying to cover up." I ain't covering up anything. Like.
Well, what I was gonna make the point of is you put out there how expensive it is, and that pissed off a lot of people. But you didn't get told by anyone to take that down.
Correct.
No one called you and said, "Kiefer, that's a secret," or "Don't do that."
Right.
I literally did a weed show. The first weed show I did of the week. I'm like, I think some of you people shouldn't race here. This is the national championship. It's out of control how much training and homeschool and time and effort people are putting into this. I think people should just go back to racing their local races. If you think your kid's going to be a factory pro, this is the way to go. But it doesn't mean that everybody has to do it.
You know, it's not for everybody.
There's nothing wrong with that. And again, no one called me and said, "How dare you?"
Right. Yeah, I got into this, you know, this year, and I complain on my show about the $60 fee just to MX Sports, and no one said anything to me. No one said, "Don't say that." I got into this year, but like, if I'm selling apple fritters and they're really expensive apple fritters, and I have lines out the door, I'm not going to lower my prices to apple fritters because it's, you know, I'm here to make a profit. It's capitalism. There's no shortage of people spending money to go to the ranch. There's no shortage of people. It's insane the amount of money that people are putting into this race. So if you are MX Sports or the Loretta Lynn's Ranch, who MX Sports rents from, or whatever, there's no lack of demand for what your product. Your product is doing very well. So
honestly, I think about it every year. I bitch about it, but guess who's paying? Guess who's whipping
no,
out the
dude,
car?
It's the amount of motorhomes and stuff and amateur. It's insane, but no one's putting a gun to those people's heads and spending this money. So what are you going to do? Yeah.
No, it's youth sports in general. And here's the thing. Even if they did, I totally agree with you. This is supply and demand. Same thing with the Nationals. Mm-hmm. Like, they're getting more riders than they can fit. So they're both getting blasted for turning riders away, but then also getting blasted at the same time for like not paying enough purse money. And I'm like, well, the market is saying you're doing just fine.
Yeah.
We can't even fit enough people here.
No, no.
Beyond,
no problems.
Beyond that, the real expense that has gone up is the commitment. Like, there wasn't even a training facility up until about 20-ish years ago. Like, if they cut the if they doubled the fees or cut them in half, what percentage would that really have on the effort?
Yeah, not very much.
No, it's like tens of thousands of dollars versus a couple hundred extra or less.
Look at how many replica tracks are there now before you go to the ranch? There's six, seven. There's not just one now.
No,
like, everyone's replicating the tracks.
I don't know for sure, but Greg Albertson told me he was like sold out of spots for like a lot of money.
I asked Greg this, and he's like, I had the best year this year. This year was the best year he's had.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, my apple fritters, I'm not lowering the price of my apple fritters. Sorry, man. I might charge more because I got lines out the door. So, okay, a few other things to talk about. Weej, it seemed like Kevin Windham was a big hit again this year. K-Dub loves this event. Even when K-Dub was doing nothing in the sport, he was still showing up to work the dozer for a while.
Yeah.
Like, Kevin Windham is into Loretta's.
Dude, this is unbelievable. Like, no one asked him to announce. He doesn't even get paid. He just wants to do it.
Right.
Like, we've got one of the best people to ever race there, one of the coolest guys ever. Of all the ex-pros that could choose to announce, he'd be right on your list of, like, guys you'd want to do it. And he's just like, no, man, I want to. Like, he doesn't want to be paid. He's, you know, I think he doesn't want to have to do it, but at the same time, he stays there all day.
Right, right.
It's honestly one of the greatest all-around mixes of, like, guy being cool that I can think of. Like, think of how much better it makes the event to have one of the best Loretta's guys and one of the most likable guys, and he's really good at it, and he's just doing it for fun. And he wouldn't take a dime if they said, look, man, you work like one of the announcers, who should pay you? He'd be like, no, man, I just like to.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I think he just enjoys, like, if you're going to sit there and watch all the motos and bench race, might as well do it with a mic. It's really one of the greatest things that's ever happened to the event, I think.
Yeah, it's cool. Everywhere on social and stuff, or even, like I said, I tuned in limited amount on the Racer TV, it was Kevin Windham hour, it seemed like. So
he's really good at announcing. He's good about talking about when riders are getting tired. He's really good about when riders are switching up lines. He's, you know, it's Kevin Windham, right? But it's just really good insight. Mm-hmm. It's nice to hear. He's relaxed when he talks. It doesn't sound forced. He's funny at times. Like, it's a good watch. And honestly, like, I know you said you didn't watch much of it, but kudos to Racer TV, man. I know a lot of people that watch the Loretta's broadcast all week. I mean, we did. We weren't there at the Airbnb. We watched it, and it's a good broadcast that you get to watch the track, you get to see the lines, and you get to watch racing. And honestly, just to go off the Kevin Windham thing, and Weej knows about this, is that they had the special kid, Stephen Coulter, that he got to ride the track, and Kevin rode the track with him. For me, that was like, it touches my heart to see Kevin, you know, even do that kind of stuff, to ride the kid around the track. And when the kid had bike problems, he rode him around in the back. He's just a good dude, man.
Yeah, what happened with that? So this is a disabled kid that...
This is wild. This wasn't, again, Windham wasn't even... Windham just volunteered.
Oh, okay. Right? So I thought his dream... I thought he challenged Windham or something.
Okay, I think they reached out to Star.
Okay.
And said, you know, my greatest dream would be to ride a lap of Loretta's. I'm a huge Deegan fan, and I would love to ride Loretta's. So they're like, I believe this all came from Yamaha and Star, Blue Crew, Steve, doing great things.
Of course.
And they're like, we'll get you a bike. We'll get you gear made. We'll get you to Loretta's. We'll get you to ride a lap at Loretta's. And that was what was going to happen. And then, like, an hour before it, when they were, I guess, putting the plan and, like, this is what's going to happen in intermission, I think Wyndham was just like, wait, what? Do you want me to have a race with them? I'll find a bike. I'll find gear. And maybe I could do a quote-unquote exhibition race with them. It's all Wyndham. Just doing
really?
It on his own.
Oh, wasn't wow. Really? Riding. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
cool.
They scrambled together a bike and a helmet and stuff for Wyndham to do it, and it made it 100 times better. And then because Wyndham is hilarious, Wyndham ended Loretta's on an 18-moto win streak, and he's never come back. So he even got to advertise it. I was like, I finally got beat.
Wyndham doesn't like helmets, though, when he rides. So he did have one on, though, right?
He did have one. All right. Yeah, doesn't he go through whoops with sneakers on?
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So even better that K-Dub did this all himself. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, man. He's just...
Yeah.
What, you couldn't have scripted it. Like, if you called Kevin Wyndham and said, hey, we want you to do X, Y, and Z, it's more like it just happens organically. All this stuff.
Yeah.
Did anybody see the great Tim Ferry, by the way, at the ranch?
I did, yeah.
Oh, legend. Legend.
Yeah, I saw him pushing a bike back, and he sweating his balls off, and yeah, so...
Oh, by the way, we didn't touch on Brandon Haas winning plus 30 again. He's on a roll right now, plus 30. Brandon Haas is.
Yeah.
So
he's a
my
good
guy
rider,
Del Nicky,
like,
thought he was going for him, but I think at the regional he realized that was going to be tough.
Who's that? Weed? Sorry.
Del Nicky.
Oh, Del Nicky. Oh, yeah.
Beat Brandon Haas. Del Nicky got fifth. Oh, one of the motos that they cut off by one lap. Del Nicky gets to the third place guy in the last lap, and it's LCQ style. I think he rammed him in the last corner. Got fourth. And that was it. That was as close as he got to the podium.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Del Nicky came over. He had some bike problems, so he's coming around asking me what he could do. So his week was a little bit up and down. But Brandon Haas, dude, ain't no one beating that guy unless someone comes in with better be training, because that guy is serious about that title.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that take it seriously. How did Jamie Ellis do, by the way, Keeper? How did Jamie?
Jamie survived. He got like 39th. He's like, I just want to complete every race, and he did that. So that's what Jamie did.
39th. I should have entered that class at the regional. Why didn't I do
that?
I
told you to come.
Yeah.
I told you to come. You could have did it.
By the way, Brunt Workwear, speaking of Wyndham, I guarantee you he's running Brunt stuff because he's a working man. They're built not only for the toughest job sites, they're completely waterproof. Whether it's rain, mud, or standing water, your feet stay dry. The code is Mathis at bruntworkwear.com. Please check them out. Super easy to break in as well. Super comfy right off the bat. They know that they have the best boots on the planet, so they'll let you try any of the products on the job. So please check it out, Brunt Workwear. Code Mathis to save on that one. All right, but to wrap it up, PW class, Eddie Ray, Jessica Patterson, friends of all of ours. I don't even know where to start. Like, so I don't know for sure if it was, obviously, their kid won, then was protested. And Weege, I don't know how this all works, but you get to keep racing, even though they don't do the protests right away.
Apparently, the rider can choose.
Okay.
If they want to do it, because if you want to do it immediately, I think they're like, we won't split your cases or pull your motor apart midweek if you're worried that that's going to ruin your motorcycle. And also, P-Dub, you're not going to race two classes. But the rule's in there because most people do race two classes on the same bike. So if you had your bike torn down in one class and you still had one less to run.
Right.
Got it.
So they give the option of waiting. And they might, I'm hearing they might maybe not do that in the future. I don't really know. These are all AMA rules.
So
I know David's going to get blamed. But
yeah. Yep. So was it a 60cc? And with other parts in it, do we know that's the word? But obviously it was illegal. They got protested. They got disqualified. But
yeah, I don't know. For sure. I just heard it was 60. Yeah. I don't really know facts. So
right.
There's a lot of different parts in there. So what's weird is, yeah, he gets – so Eddie Ray and Jessica Patterson, now Jessica Ray or Jessica Patterson, they're legends at Loretta's. You know, she won a ton. He won a title there. And they're just as into Loretta's as anyone's ever been, ever. And now their son wins a moto. But, yeah, he did get protested almost immediately. And then kind of the scuttlebutt is it's probably not going to go well if that or when the teardown happens. But then he goes out and wins the title. And then, yes, then they did tear the bike down. And then he was deemed illegal. And a couple things I learned about this process is You can't just say, hey, don't even bother tearing my bike down. We're not going to pass. We'll just hand it over. You can't do that because they want to know how much cheating you actually did, if that makes sense. You know, they want everyone to see, did you do a lot or just barely? That's one
thing. They want to bury you then.
What's that?
They just want to bury you.
They do. I mean, look, if you break the rules, they want it to be known. And then also, I'm always like, but you have to protest a certain part. You have to pick a part. And I'm like, if a guy blows by you coming out of a corner, how would you know what it is that happens? So the rule is, I've told the you can't unsee it when you see it rule. So everyone just protests something in the engine. So the whole engine has to be taken apart. So everyone sees everything. And then once they see an illegal part, you could still be popped even if that wasn't the part you're protesting for. Again, I explain this stuff to be like, the rules actually make way more sense than I realized. So yeah, he was stripped of the title.
But like, I was told they mailed the medals home too, so they couldn't give the medals back. It's just, who knows if that was just...
I got a text from somebody
that said they couldn't give the medals back because they mailed them home already, which I hope isn't true. But Weege, correct me if I'm wrong, there's protests every single year to every single top three or five P-dub, right?
I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay.
That is not true.
Okay.
Okay, the thing that got me most mad was the 10 to 15 riders get carted off because of the tree every year. Yes, I know the P-Dub, the 50 class, the 50 dad, they have a sterling reputation.
For yes, right.
But the actual P-Dub class at Loretta's, the last time a winner got stripped, I remember this kid, Jair Mitchell, it was ridiculous. Like, the bike didn't even go to the podium. The dad just rode it off, or the kid rode it off to the pits. They couldn't even find the bike. He got popped. That was like, I don't know, 16 years ago, 13 years ago.
Oh, shit. Okay.
That's the last time the winner got popped.
So this would have been pretty obvious then.
But that's it. Like, in the last 7 years, I think two times bikes got protested.
Okay.
And the title hasn't been stripped in like 13 or 16. The idea that it's always happening every year isn't actually accurate.
Okay. Well, good to know.
It does feel that way because it's 50s and the parents are nuts, but... it's not an every year thing, like, and that's why the rule book is what it is. It's like, well, how do we fix this? And the AMA is like, well, it's not actually that bad. This is two titles stripped in 16 years or something.
So that was what led me off to start in the beginning of this pod. Like, maybe Yamaha should just roll out, like the Kawasaki Race of Champions, Yamaha should roll out 20 P-dubs or 40 P-dubs or whatever. But maybe not, because you said they don't protest all of them.
It's not that bad. Although, yeah, I've heard that, but then I'm thinking of like, I mean, maybe that would actually work, but you'd have to really think through the side effects of like, if you give a class at Loretta's where the bike is free, I don't know. Does that make every person on earth just try to race it for the hell of it? I don't know. Or is that do they have to do it at the area and the regional? I mean, you have to think it through. Maybe that would work.
But, I mean, honestly, if you modify or whatever you're doing to a PW limited class and you have your own and the kid comes up and shows up at Loretta's and there's all these stock PWs, it's not going to feel any different. I feel like it's going to feel similar to the same, you know? So I just can't wrap my head around, one, cheating in the 50 class, two, protesting in the 50 class. I'm just like, it is the 50 class. I understand everyone spent money to get there and do the damn thing, but... do we even know 10 years ago who won the PW 50 class? Is this really a stepping stone to a 65? Like, I just don't understand it as a parent to go that hard, that soon, that early. Like, what are we doing?
Well,
yeah.
What I don't get is they own a training facility. They're both friends of mine, by the way, but this is brutal. They own a training facility where you would think that you want the clientele to like you, respect you, want to go to your facility. You know, like, do you want to do business with someone that cheats in the P-Dub class if you're going to take your kid there or your family there? Like, I have no doubt this probably costs them business, right? There's probably parents and people that are like, screw next level. I'm not going there. They're cheaters. So, like, they have a lot to lose. I don't know why Eddie would do this.
Well, I also heard this. I don't know. This is just what I heard again. I heard that Eddie and Jessica just purchased a used one and never really looked into the inside of the engine.
Oh, you know? No, that I refuse to believe that. Eddie is a racer. Eddie raced stock cars, cheated with stock cars. Like, no.
Look, I'm just telling you what I heard.
Well, listen, that's some heavy PR. That didn't happen. But I mean, obviously, if the protests don't happen all the time, like Weege was just saying, obviously their kid was just blowing by other kids.
Drastic. I would say I didn't watch the race because they're at the end of the day. But man, if you do have a 60 kid in there, that thing must have sounded different. One.
Yes.
Okay. And then the acceleration that thing would have had off the start would have been massive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think the tell was that he's a pretty big kid. Somebody told me he weighs like 80 pounds, which is a lot for a 6 or 7 year old. And he was pulling starts. So I think it might have been that simple. Like if he was one of the smaller kids, maybe he gets away with it. But look, people put two and two together real quick on that one.
A word of the wise, people. If you're cheating, just back it down a little bit. I mean, if you're talking to a guy who ran a big bore in Supercross, and I made the mistake of inside doing triples, and I had to back it down. So mm-hmm. You had to act. You have to act the part a little bit, all right?
Yeah. I'm disappointed.
You have lots of real life experience.
Yeah.
Yes. Like if we're gonna do a big board, let's just fake a little bit of a bad start. You'll make it up on the back end, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can tell your 7-year-old though to do all this. I don't know if they equate all that, but
you just bribe him with licorice or something. Hey, get around the corner about 7th, and I'll get you some licorice when you get back.
Is there a chance the kid did it himself? Went rogue.
He just disobeyed his parents.
He got the big board done.
Think about this, right? The kid doesn't know what the fuck's going on, right? Like he just wants to go race. And I'm sure that if it happened, there no one said, "Hey, we put this in your engine."
Of course not. Yeah.
Right. So like, it just bums me out for the kid.
Of course, he's probably like, "I won." No, you didn't. Like, I believe. Brian Deegan got caught with a big bore, and that worked out okay for him and Hayden.
Yeah, you know? I mean, we've all been there. We've all tried it. So,
now, did you hear about what happened? There was a fight, also.
Oh boy!
Did you guys hear about this?
I heard. Yeah. I don't know anything about it, but I did hear. Yes.
Yeah. So this is the best way we could possibly end this podcast.
Yeah.
We're all watching very closely, like. Oh, he's going to win now, and we know that his bike is – we've known since Tuesday that his bike's going to get protested. Now it's Friday night. So I'm going down there to watch the P-Dub podium just to see the reaction to that.
So I got a video – by the way, sorry to interrupt. I got a video of the teardown, and it was 4 deep at the truck.
Yeah, the two biggest crowds I saw were the Racing Kyler first girl wing and then the teardown of Knox Ray's bike.
Okay. Okay.
What the heck, man? So I'm down there just to see the reaction to – Knox Ray winning the title, and then all of a sudden, over the fence, like these two women come flying over the fence, screaming at each other and like poking each other in the face and everything. And they look like two moms. They look like they're about the same age. And I'm like, wow, this is P-Dub action at its best. And so I don't contradict myself. This is what I've always heard about 50 Parents, but it is the first time I've actually seen a fight in 24 years ago on the Reddits. Finally, the one is holding a baby in her arms.
Oh,
she grabs the other one by the hair and throws the other one down to the ground still with the one
with the baby. Yeah.
Yeah. It was amazing. Baby
in her arms.
You know, like at the baseball game, Steve, like the dad will manage to catch the foul ball
mm-hmm.
while holding a beer and a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was just like that. She managed to take the other mom down and the baby in the left arm completely unaffected.
Wow.
The other mom gets up. They start arguing again. Mike Burkeen from the AMA is like, whatever rider you're associated with is immediately disqualified. And then they both start crying, and they're like, look what you've done now. Look what you've done now. Look what you've done. And I'm like, shouldn't the one be pumped that got disqualified?
Right.
So it turns out they're from the same family. It's the mom and the mother-in-law, the dad's mom.
Oh, my God.
This is just inter-family drama. I don't even know if the argument has anything to do with the racing at all. It's just like... everybody's going to coexist here at this campground all week, and I guess stuff boiled over. I mean, my sister was just visiting me at my house a couple weeks ago, and the same thing happened. I couldn't take it anymore. So maybe that's where we're at.
Oh, so, man. Where's the husband at? Where's the husband?
I think he was, they were on the wooden fence on the other side of impound. I think they were both trying to get over to where the husband was with the rider, but the argument, they never made it. They came up 10 feet short of getting to probably where the husband was. They just couldn't keep the arguing. They couldn't stop the arguing before they got to the rider and the dad, who's probably the mechanic.
Hey.
So here's the thing. It turns out he got second, but he got disqualified. I'm leaving, and security's like, hey, you witnessed this rider. I'm like, would you say that the one that pulled the other one down was part of the pit crew? And I'm like, well, she was holding the baby, And the mom kept yelling, "You shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be here. Why are you down here? I'm the mom. Why are you down here?" So I don't know what the pit crew, I don't know if you want to ask the 6-year-old who his pit crew is.
What does that matter, though? I don't understand why this matters.
Because the rule says the rider is responsible for his pit crew.
Got it. Okay.
Which I kind of knew that's why they kept asking me that specifically. And I'm like, I don't know. She had a baby, and the mom kept saying, "You shouldn't be down here. I'm the mom. You shouldn't be down here." So they're like, "Well, congratulations. You just got his second place reinstated." And I'm like, "Oh, well, I don't really want to be responsible for that, but okay." And then I kind of walked away slumping. I'm like, I don't want to do – I'm not a referee.
Yeah.
But I also knew what was going on with the first place bike. And I knew it was very likely that getting reinstated as second was going to reinstate you as the winner.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's what happened.
Chasen Weigand, everybody.
I did it, baby.
Dude. Are you in the pictures of the podium with the family? You should be in there.
He's holding the baby. He's got the baby. Oh, wow.
Hey, dude, PMS is a real thing. Just stand by, dude. Relax, yeah, man.
Dude, I wanted nothing to do with this. Nothing. I wish I just left.
Yeah, you got what you deserved. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to see Weege in the family photo. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, do they know? I wonder if they know. There's some good Samaritan, some anonymous good Samaritan. Yeah.
Loretta, catch the fever.
Catch the fever, everybody. What a week that was. Wow. All right.
Jeez, man.
Well, come on, Eddie and Jessica.
Roll back next year, and so will I.
Come on, Eddie.
Yeah, one more year. We got one more year.
Dang.
Come on, Eddie and Jessica, stop it! I'm shaking my head.
You know Eddie's gonna call you at some point.
I hope he does. I hope he does. God damn it, dude! I just you make your living off motocross people. Why are you cheating? I don't know.
Dang it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the Loretta's recap.
Okay, let's wrap it up.
It's another week of your guys' life. Chris, great job this week. That was awesome, man. Yeah.
Thank you. Listen, before we leave this thing, everyone calm down. The dealer, the Triumph, they're fine. Everyone's going to be like, "Oh, they're break." No, they're not. I have a pre-production bike. Relax. Everything is okay. Don't get me in trouble, Steve, because this is what you do to me and Phil all the time. You get us some hot water.
I just ask you the story, sir. I'm not making anything up. I'm asking you the story. That's it.
Well, jeez.
I just think of the money too. Like, I'm not Weigand level of cheap at all. But dude, you wasted so much money and time.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Thank you.
Did you do a single lap?
No, I didn't. Weege.
Why did you not get your money back at that point? Like, what is the Mendoza line when you're in?
The Mendoza line is, if you do practice, you are fucked. So.
But you didn't practice.
No, he did. He had clutch problems. Yeah. He had...
I practiced. I realized midway through my practice that this probably isn't going to work. And
Okay.
And then once we kind of figured out that, you know, Tuesday wasn't going to happen, then the alternate was happy. So.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know who that was? Did you go find the guy? Anything? No.
No, okay. I didn't find him. I was kind of – I had to stay away for a little while. I was a little mad. So.
All right. Well, listen, thank you to Fly, Renthal, Maxxis, Brunt Workwear, Motorsport.com, all on board with us. Chris Kiefer, Jason Weigand, thanks for the recap of Loretta's, guys. Appreciate it. And try to get some sleep now, Weege.
Yeah.
I didn't work that hard this year. I'm good.
Okay. Yep. Good point. All right. See you, boys.
See you guys. Bye.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.